talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, you mentioned this earlier, Joel, that the national media and their attention to Deshaun Watson is usually like a day late, dollar short, right? Like, what they're saying is some stuff we were talking about a month, 2 months ago. You've been really strong about your opinion that there's no way the Texans trade Deshaun Watson before any of this legal stuff is figured out, and the very earliest would be at the offseason of 2022. I guess there's an outside chance maybe if, like, the legal stuff is gone tomorrow that maybe they could trade him at the deadline, something like that. But mostly post-legal stuff that happens. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And every Sunday you get the big news drops, right? Like on the countdown shows, whether it's Fox, whether it's ESPN, whether it's CBS, whether it's NFL Network, all of their insiders are saving their best information for that Sunday. That's when they get the biggest impressions, the most likes, the biggest hits, whatever the case may be. That's when they drop their biggest news. So you had all of these talking heads talking about Deshaun Watson yesterday. One was Adam Schefter saying what the Houston Texans want in return. They want six picks or players. Here was Jay Glazer on Fox talking about Deshaun Watson.
I don't see a scenario where Deshaun Watson ever plays for the Texans again. And the wild part is he's still working out for the team because he's still on their active roster, but they're keeping him separated from everybody else on the roster. They want this to be Tyrod Taylor's team. Lately, they've let it be known that, well, he could be traded for three ones plus a combination of three picks or players. They already had that. They had three ones and three threes going into the NFL draft. They had four teams who were really interested back then. They said, absolutely not. We're not trading them. Weren't taking any of the offers. I think that they really overshot their step in this.
Sounds like it, to say the least.
And those four teams, most of them have all dropped out, by the way.
So that was Jay Glazer on Fox. There was some nuggets there of information, right? Like they had a trade offer for...
That the offers of that magnitude were on the table, and they said no.
Yeah.
It
depends on the team, too. Like, three firsts
You believe there's four teams that were offering three ones
and a multitude
of other picks.
I don't think that's what Glazer said. I don't think Glazer said that all of them offered that. I think he said that they had one offer from that. The most interested teams were these four. I don't think he was even making the correlation that the trade offer came from one of those four teams.
I thought he was implying that those offers were there and had been there since the leading up to the draft, and that the Texans just passed on them. Regardless, I just think between Jay Glazer and Adam Schefter, and look, I still believe that Jay Glazer is very trustworthy because he's not a guy that, I don't think he really overdoes the publicity thing or wants to be Woj or Schefter in terms of social media and otherwise, and he's got legitimate relationships. I've lost so much respect for Adam Schefter and the fact that with what he tried to do on draft night just to get sensationalized clicks and attention to the ESPN draft coverage, took away from what otherwise was a rock-solid reputation as a guy that had all the breaking news. I think that both these guys chose the opening week of the first Sunday of the regular season to do and say everything that they did and say to try and just draw more attention and get more clicks and likes and eyeballs on their stuff. Because otherwise, it's much ado about nothing. At this point in the season, they're not to talk about.
Do you believe that they had that trade on draft day?
I don't.
You know, I just pulled up the timeline here, and the first allegations that came out against Deshaun Watson were way back in March, middle of March. The draft was in late April. So who would be making that offer whenever all of this stuff is starting to hit the fan? I don't buy it either.
I said it then, I'll say it again now, and you just solidified everything that I was alluding to as well. That is that unless it was a bargain deal, so it wasn't one of those deals that Glazer was alluding to, if those were even real.
Or I could see it being a team late in the first round.
I could see a team trying to get a bargain on draft night going, hey, you know what? Your offers are dwindling, or because of this other stuff, you know what? But we're still willing to give you a one and two twos if you want to do the deal now. And it's a team that actually either had a high draft pick or was a good team that had an extra pick where they could try and make something happen. But there's no way that any sane general manager, and I've been harping on this since day one, if I want to save my job, if I'm an existing GM that's been with multiple teams, or this is my first go-round, the last thing I'm going to do is mortgage my future with my franchise by throwing away the entire future of the club and their assets to try and get a guy that may never play a game for me if any of these things go wrong.
The only way I could see that offer being true, if it was somebody late in the first round and they had some sort of conditional stuff attached to it, But then you look to see who's drafting late in the first round, like Tampa Bay. They're not going to trade that for Deshaun. Neither is Baltimore, even though Lamar Jackson's still looking for a contract. Buffalo's not. Green Bay's not. New Orleans?
No, maybe.
New Orleans, 28. Baltimore, they had a couple of picks late. Cleveland, 26.
Maybe.
Those are a couple of teams.
But again, they're looking for a bargain. They're not going to give you the whole farm like Glazer was talking about.
I'm wondering who Glazer got that information from. I think it's Deshaun's agent, to be honest with you. I think that they're trying to recycle some news, trying to get some buzz around Deshaun, try to get him out of Houston. I think that's who planted that information. Like, there are some teams that are out there that I'm keeping an eye on to be like underrated dark horse teams that trade for Deshaun Watson when the time's appropriate, not right now.
One of mine starts looking a lot better after yesterday.
Who was that again? Remind
Atlanta.
Me. Atlanta looks good, but Atlanta's going to have some really good picks. Like, they look good in the sweepstakes. They look good on the football field.
I was going to say, Matt Ryan looks like it might have finally really passed him by.
There was that one picture of him, like, laying face down in the turf where it looked like he was dead.
And Deshaun would go there. He was a ball boy there. And look, they're building young receivers. They're trying to do things to on the fly to rebuild. I think that Atlanta sleeper could be big for them.
That one's buzzworthy too, like in entertainment purposes.
Yep.
Pittsburgh. How about Pittsburgh? Maybe. Ben Roethlisberger's old. They want to bring in a new quarterback, although they're not really like a big splash organization. Cleveland? Cleveland's one that I said. Keep an eye on Cleveland.
Cleveland with Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun both if Baker fails miserably. And I don't want to say week one was a Baker failure because as we talked about earlier in this show, he did a lot of things right for 3.5 quarters, and just everybody's going to remember the last play he made, which was the pick that cost him in the final drive. But it's worth watching because we've talked about how deep their roster is. They might have the most depth of any roster in the NFL. They go too deep with all-pro caliber running backs and receivers and tight ends. Their line is good. Their defense is really good. They have all these different skill positions covered and all of the in-betweens. If they don't win because of their quarterback and they're in win-now mode, no bet is off the table for the Browns, whether it be Rodgers or Watson.
Before the start of the season, not high on Baker. I liked what I saw of Baker pretty much that entire game into that final series, but not riding him off this season. Still kind of on the fence when it comes to Baker Mayfield, although I thought overall yesterday he looked good. Let's get to one more national talking head and his thoughts on Deshaun Watson. Here was Ian Rappaport on NFL Network.
When the Houston Texans play the Jacksonville Jaguars today, franchise quarterback Deshaun Watson will be inactive. He will be watching just like the rest of us. Expect this to continue really throughout the season. Of course, you know by now, Watson demanded a trade. The team did entertain trade offers, held very firm on a strong price. No trade materialized, so Watson has vowed not to play for the Texans. That is the plan this season. I'm told a couple important things. First of all, expect trade talks to pick up around the trade deadline if some of the interested teams, perhaps the Panthers, perhaps the Dolphins, if they struggle. More important factors involving the Deshaun Watson situation. The NFL has no plans to put him on the commissioner's exempt list, barring new information. And, of course, he is facing 22 civil lawsuits and 10 criminal complaints alleging sexual misconduct. As of right now, this legal situation expected to play out through next year, so no clarity coming.
All right. Any new news for me in Rappaport on NFL Network?
And Jeremy, you're a numbers guy. I mean, you play the odds. Every time I hear him throw out numbers like that, it just solidifies even more. If I'm generic general manager A, and I'm sitting back, and I realize it's not just 22 civil cases, it's 10 that have legal ramifications now or the potential to have them. Why in the world, whether it be before the trade deadline or now or before the draft or any time until that's resolved, am I picking up the phone and going, hey, I got half a farm I'm willing to give you here for your quarterback because I think we could make a deal? I mean, unless I'm trying to absolutely steal him from the Texans, there's no way in hell any smart, level-headed general manager is even trying to make that move.
Yeah, I don't see any way that it happens at all until the civil suits are figured out, and to make sure that it doesn't get criminal too. If the grand jury indicts him, that throws a huge wrinkle into this too. I don't think Casario's willing to budge off of what he wants back for him, and teams aren't going to give the full king's ransom that Nick Casario wants with all of this stuff hanging over it. The only new news that I took from that, I don't believe. Rappaport said expect trade talks to pick up at the deadline. To me, it's not a deadline thing. It's lawsuit stuff.
Yes.
And then the second part of that, too, he said, okay, well, if it's the Panthers or Dolphins, teams that have been interested in Deshaun in the past, if they're struggling, why, if you're a struggling team, are you going to trade for a quarterback at the deadline? That's something you do in the offseason, not at the deadline. Like, you're not making that move if you have 3 wins and are out of playoff contention. Maybe if you're the Dolphins and you're in the mix, But you're not doing that if you're like 3-8.
But it goes to what you're saying about Cleveland. If you have a the rest of the roster is playoff ready in your mind, then you are considering the quickest fix possible that takes you a step above what you already have. Otherwise, you're right. But if Carolina gets more consistent play from Sam Darnold like they got in week one, and they've got they got burners, they got guys that could give him weapons, and they got a franchise where he can finally settle in with a coach and an offensive coordinator, why wouldn't you want to continue to see what you got there? Because he's still young, and he still shows he can play. And we know that the market coming up for quarterbacks is not going to be great in the offseason from a college draft perspective.
Yep.
So I don't know why anybody – Philadelphia for week one. I could be completely wrong on Jalen Hurts, but for week one, he looked fantastic. So Philadelphia, a team that was rumored to be in the mix because they had multiple first-round picks and they wanted a franchise guy. They didn't think Hurts was that guy. They might start changing their opinion too. So Carolina and Philly might do complete 180s if they keep doing anywhere close to what they did in week one.
No chance the Texans trade Deshaun Watson before the civil stuff, the criminal stuff gets figured out in court or before it ever gets to court. Coming up next, another big-name quarterback that a certain team is keeping an eye on. Which player? Which team? Next, Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the people at Cars for Kids. I've been talking to you guys about Cars for Kids because the entire program is centered around you and your donations. And if you've got a situation, and not everybody does, but if you have a situation where you've got a vehicle, whether it's running or not, it's just collecting rust and dust. You're not using it anymore. If it needs to be towed away, you don't want to put any more money into it if you're not getting anything out of it. You want to get rid of it, but you just don't want to spend money on it. You don't have to. All you got to do is get in touch with Cars for Kids at carsforkids.org or by calling them at 713-225-4226. And this is where the process begins. They'll pick it up for free. So no towing charges, nothing out of your pocketbook. They'll give you a tax write-off. Therefore, you're already benefiting by the fact that you get something out of getting rid of the vehicle. And then if you don't have the title for it, they'll find it for you. Don't even worry about it and get it off your property. And that's when it really gets into a full speed activity in terms of how this whole program works. Because once they get the vehicle from you, they turn it into resources for kids trying to get a second chance to get their degree. All of it stays local at the Houston Can Academies, and it basically takes distractions off the table so kids focus on the books and can get their degree so that they can make something of themselves in their life. And it's all because of the donation that it started with that you've provided. It's a great program doing great things, and you can be a part of it. A truck, a trailer, a boat, it doesn't matter. A car, an SUV, working or not, if you donate it, they'll find a way to turn it into resources to help these kids. And that's why this program is so important. Help today if you can. We would really appreciate it. Check it out. As always, mention ESPN 97.5 and get a $50 Visa gift card, by the way, as a thank you for your donation. And then make sure you donate by getting in contact with Cars for Kids. They do the dirty work so that the kids can reap the benefits. At the end of the day, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Skiller Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, 713-780-3776. In a couple of minutes, we'll take a look at that quarterback, the big-name quarterback that's still being courted, perhaps, by an NFL team. But first, let's go to the HRP listener line as Henry joins the Hive. Henry, what's going on?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Hey, I want to talk about the Deshaun Watson situation in the Texans. I honestly, man, I'm a big Deshaun Watson fan, have been ever since he came to Houston, but he's been left a bad taste in my mouth, man. And I honestly believe he'd have made a horrible mistake sitting the season out, saying he don't want to play for us. He even lost the fan base. With everything going on, I wouldn't. I agree with you guys. I wouldn't want to bring this guy into my organization not knowing what his future looks like. Then especially with the Texans winning yesterday, I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm happy we won. I'm going to admit I was one of the fans who didn't think we would do anything. I was just so disappointed in everything. I really wasn't open to giving the team a chance, but after seeing what, how they dominated, I think the more the Texans win, the worse things get for Deshaun. That's just my opinion. I don't know. What do you guys think?
It's a good point, Henry, and thanks for listening. Thanks for the call. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I don't think that they're synonymous. Because the more the Texans win, what number are we talking about here? Like, the only way you're going to forget about Deshaun Watson is if you're the Cinderella playoff team that, like, wins the division at 9-8. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but even still, at Tyrod Taylor's age and everything that's going on, we've said all the we got a bridge quarterback, we got a bridge coach, we've got a bridge organization crossing a bridge from the reality check of wanting to be competitive, competing for divisions and Super Bowls, and restarting everything to try and rebuild the entire program. Nothing in my mind is going to take away the vision of Nick Caserio for the long-term goals of this team, and that involves getting a new young quarterback some way, somehow.
Yeah, not Deshaun Watson.
No.
That ship has sailed. I'm curious, too. Like, Henry brought up the point that happy that the Texans won, and, you know, a little bit earlier on in the show, too, whenever we brought on our guest, we talked about, you know, does this change with the Texans, like the embrace the suck attitude, right? Like, they won the game. They're 1-0. People are happy. Are you happy that the Texans won? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Are you happy that the Texans won yesterday?
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people, because we do have a lot of diehards that just love football in the city of Houston, and we've had plenty of fans that have said, I just can't get to the point of turning my back on them, because at the end of the day, I can't think of endure the thought of 17 weeks of misery because they're going to lose every game and not have a chance. So I think there's going to be plenty of people out there that wanted to see them win. But I think that, are we going to be, my bigger question for you, Jeremy, is going to be, are we going to have the same conversation going in week six, or is reality going to set in and go, hey, at least we're not going winless on the season, but we're in a position now that we all thought we were going to be in, which is fighting for the bottom half of the bottom fifth of the NFL.
This is a cross sport thought that I had and a cross sport comparison I had whenever I was thinking about the Texans winning yesterday. Are you happy that the Texans won? 713-780-3776. Like, I kind of related it a little bit to the Rockets start this season after they traded Harden. Because remember, like, Wall and Cousins, like, they were winning enough games to kind of still be semi-close to 500, still be semi-close to the eighth spot in the Western Conference. But you knew that they weren't really a playoff team. They didn't have a playoff roster. Could they get there with, like, this veteran-led team? Like, probably not, but they were still giving you that glimmer of hope. Or
they were entertaining. I said this to you a couple weeks ago. I said, look, if the Texans become the Rockets of last season, for 3.5 quarters, they're in the game. They're fighting. They're not getting blown out. They're not getting embarrassed. They're not getting boat raced. But at the end of the day, they don't win the game. That's okay. Because it gives you everything that you wanted that I was just talking about from a fan perspective of they were competitive. I was entertained. I was still able to escape with my Texans for a Sunday.
Were you entertained?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
I was. Because you know what? I want to say this. Because you and I both said they were going to win. I was not expecting, but I was fearful of how bad this team could be. And I was pleasantly surprised, so I was entertained throughout the game because I also thought, hey, it's quite possible with rookie quarterback, rookie coach, they get off to a good start, but the playing field is leveled quickly, and then we see who's got more talent. But because of the fact that it was basically from start to finish a dominant performance by the entire team, I was entertained, and I was pleasantly surprised when I wasn't sure that I was going to be. So I definitely got a lot out of yesterday's game. I think a lot of fans feel that way. That's why they have hope now because of what happened in week one.
Like, I wasn't highly entertained by the way that they played. I respected and appreciated how well they
looked. What were your expectations?
They were low. I mean, I was expecting like a 17-14 win, something like that, 17-13. I was really impressed with Lovie Smith's defense. I thought they made Trevor Lawrence's life hell. I thought they did a really good job against a rookie quarterback. And a rookie quarterback who I think is going to be good. I mean, he made throws in that game. I was like, wow, that's a great play by Trevor Lawrence. I thought the offense put together a pretty good game offensively. I wasn't blown away by Tyrod Taylor. I know he had pretty good numbers. I thought he made some really bad throws. I thought he made some bad decisions. I thought he missed some easy throws too. And it's why Tyrod Taylor, somewhere between the 25th and 40th best quarterback in the world currently. So there was things that I liked about how this organization could be run in the future. It gave me promise in that sense, but I wasn't overly entertained by the Texans or even to the sense of where, like, hey, this team can win 7 or 8 games, nor do I think it's good. And that's why I'm asking the question. Are you happy the Texans won? 713-780-ESPN. One of the texters saying this team is like watching The Replacements. I'm halfway expecting a sumo wrestler to pull at left guard. Omega and Humble says, I'm a diehard Texans fan. I'm happy we won so we don't go winless. That was the one and only game I'll be rooting for the Texans. I hope they lose every game left. And it sounds like Omega and Humble saying, embrace the suck.
And that is exactly what we've been talking about all along. That is the mentality to have, because that's why you also set yourself up to not be heartbroken when some of these veterans are traded and you don't think they got enough in return, but you don't realize what the big picture is for Nick Caserio. That is why this one was able to take a little of that edge and fear off of what could have been an absolute disaster. But at least you go, you know what? They got to win. They proved that they can still play in the league. And they're not quite like we were talking about earlier in the show. They're not the laughing stock, at least as much, that people set them up to be. But now, go back and do the job at hand. Like you said, like I said a week or so ago, this is, you want the Rockets of a year ago. You want them to be entertaining, be in ball games, give you hope for the future that they're starting to lay the cornerstones or at least some groundwork, and then at the end of the day, lose a close game.
Yeah, be a respectful organization. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go to the HRMP listener line. Fred, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, how you doing? Good Lord, it's the Texans. They won one game against Jacksonville. I'm listening to the radio. You're acting like it's... They're a bunch of has-been and never was. They're off Major League, and they're going to win it all. They're a bunch of veterans, sure, but it's five, six games, seven games into a 17-game season. We'll see how this talk goes then, because I'll tell you, it's going to be another story.
Fred, I don't think we were acting like
Fred,
they
I don't think
win.
We did it all. We gave you the opposite. We're tempering emotions and telling you that was just one week, and we said enjoy it for 24 hours and then come back to reality. You're playing the Browns, and you're already double-digit underdogs in that game. You're going to be underdogs in almost every game the rest of the year.
Man, I'm just telling you, earlier it was, you know, we're going to see how this goes. We're going to ride it out, you know, everything like that, this and that. But, I mean, it's not going anywhere.
Fred, you're on the AM dial. You got to stay on the FM dial. Stay on the FM side, big guy.
I guess I need to stay on the FM dial.
Appreciate the call, Fred. Right. Thanks for listening. Yeah, but, I mean, maybe Fred just caught us for the last couple of moments, and he was on the AM dial. But, I mean, I've said since the very beginning that the ceiling for this team, and I was an optimistic ceiling, right, at six wins.
Yeah.
Like, I still don't see more than six wins.
I'm sorry.
That's even optimistic six wins.
I'm chuckling because if Fred spent more time with Wilma and less time worrying, figuring out what we said, he'd realize – if I was that optimistic, would I have coined the phrase embrace the suck? If I said from day one, before training camp even started, the best thing for this franchise is to embrace the suck and lose every game, I think that completely contradicts Fred's concept in that call.
Yeah. I think Fred's a loyal listener, though, or needs to be a loyal listener, because we don't drink the Kool-Aid here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Are you happy the Texans won, Houston? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Also, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Tyrod Taylor and that quarterback in the NFL that's being coveted by NFL teams. It's next. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Are you happy the Texans won yesterday? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. My Uncle Barney texted me, said six wins may win the division. I hadn't entertained that thought. Six wins could win the AFC. Could you imagine 6-11 winning the division?
Can you get Uncle Barney to hang out with caller Fred? And then when Fred and Barney get together, maybe Fred would have a better sense of reality of what we've said?
I wonder what my Uncle Barney thinks of the Texans. Uncle Barney, are you happy that the Texans won? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go to the HR&P listener line. Cameron, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, so I just wanted to say, how about them Texans? I said it in preseason. There was a different dynamic on the team. I'm not saying we're some Super Bowl contender, but my personal opinion, I think this is one of the best teams that the franchise has had.
Okay.
David Coley,
Cameron, you realize you had a team in Texans history that won, what, 13, 14 games? You do realize that, right?
I understand. I do, but just the David Coley, it's a relaxed team. They don't have much to prove. People are doubting Gus. I think we looked pretty good yesterday.
Okay, there's a difference between saying they looked good yesterday against Jacksonville with a rookie quarterback and head coach, and then comparing them to some of the greatest teams in franchise history. Because if we went just position by position, I don't think that Tyrod Taylor is better than Matt Schaub when he was at his heyday with the Texans. I don't think they have any receiver near Andre Johnson. And we could go J.J. Watt. We go on and on. I think that's a little bit of a grandiose statement.
That's understandable. I like what I saw yesterday. I'm here for it. I'm excited to see where the season goes.
I have an honest question for you. Are you trolling us right now?
No, not at all. Not at all. I wanted to get online because everybody, you know, they're bashing the Texans. Before the season started, they want to bash us and we're the suckiest team in the league. And I understand all that. But for those purposes, I think we looked damn good yesterday.
Do you think they're going to the playoffs?
I think we looked pretty good. Yeah, I think we will.
How many wins? 15 or 16?
I won't take it that far. I think we'll go. I don't know, 9.
Okay,
we'll break 500 easily.
Who are they going to play in the Super Bowl?
Oh, I don't know nothing about that, man. I think we'll win the division. I know we'll win the division. We'll probably go one round deep.
Kim, are you a betting man?
I don't think we're as bad as everybody says.
Are you a betting man?
Yeah, I'm a betting man.
How can people reach you so they can get a piece of this action? Because I think you got a whole lot of people right now that would like to see if you'd be willing to put your money where your mouth is on that one.
Hey, I did 163 points in fantasy, blew out my fantasy this week, and then also went 14-4, I believe, in my picks. So
you play.
I'm pretty good at
that's
it.
That's a
man.
Lot of games.
You're pretty good at it. But you know what? When you listen to some of the guys we have on the air, I don't think they're going to lead with the Texans winning 9 games and winning the division.
I like Cameron's optimism. Okay. I like it. Cameron, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Hey, that's the range of fans, right? I mean, you have a range of fans who think 0 wins, embrace the suck. You have a range of fans think 9 wins, maybe it's good enough to win the AFC South. It's what's beautiful about sports.
I feel like Cam is also telling people this storm is not going to hit us at all, and we're going to get sunshine and low 90s tomorrow.
Which, by the way, stay safe, Houston.
Yes.
Stay safe. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Happy the Texans won yesterday. Happy for Cully, says a texter. Happy Trevor lost. Happy Urban lost. Don't expect much out of them the rest of the year, but the offense actually looks okay. That's our boy Todd, the show, sending that one. So
Jacksonville could be in the running for worst record again.
I mean, if you're looking at races in the AFC South, the bottom of the AFC South could be a really fun race to watch. And it might be the difference in the number one, number two pick of the NFL draft. Urban Meyer, is he Jacksonville Jaguar head coach next year?
No. Yes, he has to be because of the contract, and Shad Khan is not going to pay him to go away this quickly. But I said to you, that was my biggest question, more than Trevor Lawrence, was Urban Meyer as a head coach in the National Football League, where he's not a dictator anymore, and he's got guys that make more money than him in his locker room. And I think it's going to continue to be the underwriting narrative for Jacksonville for this entire season. Can he do what so many college coaches couldn't do when they saw the reality of, hey, it's a different world and a different ball game when you have players making more than you do? There are guys that can do it. There's been a whole lot of guys that haven't been able to handle it. Steve Spurrier. I mean, you can go up and down the list of the college guys that get to the pro game as a head coach, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I agree with that. To me, the contract's too big. They're going to give them a chance. They knew that it wasn't a good roster. Look, if Trevor Lawrence looks good, it doesn't matter if they go 1-16. If Trevor Lawrence looks good, he's their franchise. He sticks around for another year. Ian Rappaport saying that the Broncos are keeping an eye on Aaron Rodgers. They had big interest in the offseason when he was kind of retiring. Maybe he gets traded. Does Aaron Rodgers play for the Denver Broncos or any other team by the time his career is done?
I still say no. Look, I was the one voice that you heard against all others that said, when everybody said he would never play another game in Green Bay, I said, he'll be back. He'll be starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers this year. Now, the percentages are a little less in my mind of him finishing his career as a Green Bay Packer, but I still believe, again, a lot of things change. If they continue to play bad, if he continues to play bad, then there's a lot of different things that can change the narrative. But I think in terms of the one thing that got us to this point was his relationship or lack thereof with the president and the general manager. And those have gotten better. He feels like he's more dialed in to decisions. And so we'll see how it goes. But I think there's a legit chance that he, like Kobe Bryant and like Dirk Nowitzki, finish his career where he has said all along he wants to in Green Bay. I don't think it's 50-50. I don't think it's weighted for, you know, more in the sense that he'll leave. But I don't think it's 100% he comes back.
It's smart of Denver, too, to be keeping an eye on it. Why wouldn't you? One of the best quarterbacks
in the
NFL.
Teddy didn't play all that bad yesterday, Bridgewater.
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty good, actually. I didn't expect him to win that game, but they won pretty handily over New York. New York looked bad, by the way. Not a good sign for Joe Judge. Let's go to the HRP listener line. Slappy, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead, Slappy.
What's up, fellas? In the words of Mr. Wolf there on Pulp Fiction, let's not start bleeping each other's bleeps just yet. The team looked good, but they looked good against a team that that had Oshaq Hennessy as a tight end, and he was the only one really killing us. And we just we need to get a grip. I mean, this happens every year, though. You think a team is not going to win, they're going to win their first game, they're going to have you hyped up, but everything is going to rise to the top. Everything's going to even itself out. And, no, we're not a juggernaut. We look good. But let's embrace the suck and get us some picks next year. And that's all I got to say, fellas.
Pastor Slappy, preach on. Preach that gospel, sir. That was the call we needed. Thank you. That was spot on.
Embrace the suck. And look, I said this in the opening segment of the show. You don't overreact to week one. You don't overreact if you're the Texans beating Jacksonville 37-21. You don't react to it if you're Green Bay losing to New Orleans. It's week one of the NFL season. And week one is less significant this season more than any other season in NFL history because you have one extra game. You play 17 games now. You have a lot of time to correct what's wrong. To me, the biggest takeaway I had for the Texans, again, was the process. I liked the game plan throughout. I thought it was an incredibly well-coached game. I liked what I saw Lovie Smith defensively. I love Cully's demeanor on the sideline. That was refreshing, very likable, as opposed to Bill O'Brien, who had just a punchable face, right? So I like all those things. But I'm also not going to lose sight that the Texans have one of the worst rosters in the NFL. Maybe I don't think that they have the worst roster in the NFL anymore. Maybe it's like second or third worst.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that there's anything to like celebrate because of the fact that now suddenly instead of the worst team in the league, you may be down a few notches on the draft boards because you actually have a little bit more stability on your roster and especially with your coaching staff. But I think look at the Cleveland Browns. What have they lost? 17 straight openers.
And is it yet, that high?
But look at for that result, right? When you hear that, you go, well, they must really be bad. And look at them lately and the fact that they've made the playoffs. They gave the Chiefs a game a year ago. So one game does not make a season good or bad. You take it for what it's worth. It's 1/17th of your schedule, okay? And you won. Now you got 16 more to focus on. Philadelphia Eagles, they won, and they won convincingly against Atlanta. But does that mean that Philadelphia is going to compete for the East? Does that mean that Philadelphia is going to be a contender? We'll see.
Kyle Shanahan just announced Raheem Mostert chipped cartilage in his knee, headed to the IR. It's going to be out at least 8 weeks. Elijah Mitchell season, everybody. Ran for over 100 yards yesterday. Yeah. Elijah Mitchell season. Also curious to see if Trey Sermon maybe gets he's on the roster. He was a healthy scratch yesterday. Another injury note, Ryan Fitzpatrick tore the ball out of his socket. He's going to be out a little while. Cam Newton to Washington. Apparently, Ron Rivera will have that decision.
Mike tear Florio. Your ball?
No, I can say that I have not. I'm very thankful for it.
I said yesterday when there was even rumblings about that, Cam Newton on line one. If there's anybody at any time that should be looking Cam's direction, it's his previous coach in Carolina and Ron Rivera, who was one of the guys that said he could still play. Well, let's see if you put your roster spot where your mouth is, Ron. And with Fitzmagic out with a Fitztragic injury yet again, do you call Cam Newton to give him maybe that last opportunity?
I mean, I'd go Newton over Heinicke, right?
I would too.
I'd go Newton over Heinicke. All right, coming up next, take a look at the Houston Astros. What's on tap for them in this Monday night football game? Ravens, Raiders, what to expect next? Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Cody Stutes, the Wheelhouse, joining us in the Killer Bees. He'll be on 3-7. Cody, are you happy the Texans won yesterday?
Yeah, absolutely. More fun to cover a team when they win.
Right. Now, did it change your expectations? Did you see this win and go, uh-oh, I completely misjudged this team. This team has potential.
No, this is exactly like the way David Culley and Nick Caserio and Lovie Smith and Tim Kelly sat down and drew it up for it to go is exactly how it went for them. So we don't know how they handle things like off script. We don't know how they handle things that just pop up. I mean, we'll kind of see it a little bit with an injury or a guy dinged up here. Like, how do you play Anthony Miller now that he's coming back this week and things like that? But this is exactly how they drew it up to go yesterday, which is, I think, the biggest testament to how well they could impose their will in that game is the game went exactly like they wanted it to go.
But when you were new, so if you got the Garden of Texan, right, you're nurturing all these veterans and giving them a second chance on life. This shouldn't change Caserio's philosophy nor the organization's that no one should be off limits in terms of if teams come calling. Because we see with the injuries, the latest now, as Jeremy mentioned last segment, with Raheem Mostert and San Francisco lost a corner. We know that the Ravens have been injury starved with all the different ACLs and things, corners and running backs and everything. If all these teams start watching the Texans and looking, going, you know what, they're not as bad as we thought. They got some vets that can still play. You still got to believe, right, that no one is off the table, and Caserio's going to take, not that it's a yard sale, but he's going to take the best offer.
I would say most of these positions, like that you would build some value over the next few weeks and then trade the guy, there's at least a young guy to play some of the snaps. Like if one of these defensive linemen who's a veteran gets traded, like there's young guys, Roy Lopez, Ross Blacklock, mm-hmm. John Grenard when he gets back from the injury, like there's young guys to take those snaps. Where it gets kind of dicey is like you don't have depth and you don't have young guys at the cornerback spot.
But we talked about this earlier. Do you think that they intentionally gave Lindsey less carries yesterday to showcase Mark Ingram, knowing that especially like with Baltimore, that if he shows he could still play, that they could possibly move him out of that three-headed monster at running back?
No, I think that Philip Lindsey's the fourth, maybe fifth best running back.
Really?
I really do.
Behind Scotty Mitchell, huh?
I think Phillips is better than him, the young kid who was inactive yesterday. Rex Burkhead is a different type mm-hmm. of running back. Ingram's better than him, and David Johnson is used a different way. Like they just trust David Johnson to catch the ball more than they trust Philip Lindsey. No, I think they gave Mark Ingram the most carries he's had since like almost his first year in the league. So they rode that guy because they felt like that was their best chance to close out Jacksonville and win the game.
Cody Stewart's joining us on the Killer Bees. I thought the Rams looked better than anybody else yesterday. I thought that was the most impressive week one win. I think Joel was on Arizona, right? Most impressive week one win. Who was your most impressive week one victory?
You guys are both wrong because New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I was going to say the Saints, absolutely, having watched every freaking snap of that game.
I understand that the Saints won by a lot of points and they did it against a good opponent. I just like what Matt Stafford brings to that team. And to me, like if I'm looking at like Super Bowl futures, I'm way more interested in the Rams today than I am at the Saints.
The tough part about what you bring up with the Rams is that thing was like a one possession game for a good portion of the game. Then the Rams poured it on late because the Bears couldn't keep up late.
That is true.
I don't know that I love that performance from start to finish. I mean, the Saints from start to finish.
But you know that night and day, Goff versus Stafford.
Oh, absolutely.
And with all the weapons he's got, Stafford's just going to get better and better.
Absolutely. I mean, Cooper Kupp's 20-something months removed from his ACL injury. They didn't even really get the defense going. Some of those defensive studs for the Rams didn't even really get going. Although you saw exactly how good Jalen Ramsey can be when you use him.
Yeah, the star position. He looked great. Yeah.
Is the over under five on how many plays this year Jalen Ramsey will actually put his mouth guard in his mouth?
I didn't notice that.
The thing was just all over the place last night. Never once was it in his pie hole.
I'm surprised at the amount of defensive linemen that I can notice now that aren't using mouth guards. Akeem Hicks last night like made a play and he got up and I was like, he doesn't have a mouth guard in. And like they kind of kept the camera on him and I was like, he still doesn't have a mouth
guard
in.
That's stupid.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, if he wants to pay for the veneers when the things get all wrecked, that's fine.
That's the thing, too. So when Keenan McCardell was still playing one night, they put him back to receive a punt, and he got drilled in the grill, and the bar went underneath and caught him.
Oh.
And I was like, were you wearing a mouth guard? And he goes, no, just chewing gum. And I'm like, and you didn't lose a front row of teeth? And he's like, nah, bro, we had those fixed long time ago. Oh, so depending on the level of thickness in the veneers, they can be a mouth guard too.
Yeah, that's true.
Man.
Like if Cushing didn't want to wear a mouth guard when he was playing, then that would have been fine. That dude had humongous teeth.
Well, you start thinking about the fact that basically it can keep you from serious injury by the shock absorption in the back of your mouth, not alone protecting your teeth. And some guys just don't. they're just the most uncomfortable thing in the world to put in your mouth.
Yeah. And it's not like it's a restriction. Like, they got the kind that you can breathe through now and stuff like that. So it's not like it's like a breathing
thing. Yeah, they fit every one of those dudes. I mean, they fit it to perfection for you. What do you have coming up on the Wheelhouse 3-7?
We're just going to dive in a ton on this game, the good, bad, and the ugly from it. And I talked about how it went exactly like they wanted it to go. How much of that can they replicate next week and throughout the course of this season? Plenty to dive into on the game. We'll focus mostly on that. Then,
do you see the week two line yet? Cleveland-Houston?
What is the number?
I think I saw 11.5. Some of our Twitchers were saying 12.
Yeah, did it get to 12 yet? I saw 11.5 as well.
I could see where that's probably the number that makes a lot
it's
of
a
sense.
Big number.
Cleveland with the red ass after losing a game that you were in control of a good portion of the way, I could see it happening.
Well, Cleveland has so much that Jacksonville doesn't that we don't know if the Texans can handle.
I said it's the most. I think that's that's the deepest roster in the NFL.
12.5, according to my bookie.
You agree or disagree? Deepest roster in the NFL start to finish.
Cleveland?
Yeah. Think about it. They're too deep at running back, too deep at wide receiver, too deep at tight end. Their defense is really stout with a lot of high picks and quality players. You look at what Myles Garrett does on the edge and how freakishly he gets low and gets around the corner.
Yeah, one of the best offensive lines in
they
football
They built the lineup,
well.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty deep. I think the thing is, I learned yesterday is you can be as deep as you want. Mahomes, Kelsey, and Hill just better than what you got.
Isn't it crazy how the Kansas City offense is so good with three guys?
They're better than what you got.
They don't have a panic button. Think about the comeback against the Texans in the playoffs. Think about it again, how that paid off into yesterday. Mahomes never lost his demeanor. Those guys never thought they were going to lose. They kept looking at the scoreboard going, you know what? That's fine, but there's still plenty of time, and we still got what we got.
That's because that dude spent his whole college career playing from behind because Cliff Kingsbury couldn't recruit a defender to save his life.
That's a good
point. You would
point.
Know that. Yes.
All right, Cody, we'll be listening. Good stuff as always. Catch Cody with Jake and BK, the Wheelhouse coming up. 3-7. Astros getting started a 4-game series tonight. They go to Arlington to face the Texas Rangers. Jake Odorizzi day at the ballpark. Up 6.5 on Oakland. Up 6.5 in Seattle. I usually don't have a huge level of excitement for a Jake Odorizzi start. Tonight,
why start now?
I do tonight.
Why? Because you just want to see how he bounces back after running his mouth and
first
all that?
First start after running his mouth? Absolutely. That increases my level of intrigue for this game. Absolutely.
Breakfast for dinner in Arlington? How do you like your eggs? Odorizzi? Okay. We'll see.
He hasn't been bad lately.
Tyler didn't like that one either.
He hasn't been bad. I mean, he should only go 5 innings, right? Like, they need to prove a point.
No, that would
they
be
need,
the thing.
They need to
Can
prove
you
a point.
Prove to us and all your grandiose freaking back talk that you can get into the 6th inning without the wheels coming all off simultaneously and absolutely just completely imploding. Show us that you can back up what you smacked, okay? Show us that you can have your low pitch, because you can't blame it on any one thing. Your pitch count was as low as it's ever going to be the last time out, and the wheels still fell off. You have a high pitch count, and you're rolling through. You retire like 9 in a row, and guess what? Here comes the 6th. Goodbye.
See, I want it the other way. I don't want him to go after 5 innings. If Dusty Baker's like this true old school manager, it's my way or the highway. He shouldn't go more than 5, and he shouldn't go more than 2 trips for the order. As soon as the leadoff guy bats for
the
third time,
you're right.
As soon as the leadoff guy for the Rangers bats for the third time. To the bullpen, Captain Hook out. Prove a point to Odorizzi tonight. That's what I want to see.
Because then you're going to see a combo platter of Mike Fiers and Ken Giles meets A.J. Hinch when he starts walking off the mound. And he gives you that someone just peed my Cheerios, bitter beer face. And he gets all upset. Because, look, then if that happens, what you're basically saying is exactly what we set up as a scenario is being true. And that is their fourth and fifth starts or their third and fourth starts, depending on how you want to do it, are going to be 4 starters splitting half a ball game. They're going to go 50-50 like split squads because you're going to use Garcia that way. You're going to use Odorizzi that way. You may end up because you know how quick Dusty likes to pull the hook on Greinke that way.
Yeah, Urquidy too.
Yeah, Urquidy because of the injuries that way. That's what you're basically relenting and going into and saying, you know what, this is the way we're going to approach our playoffs if you are hell-bent on he's got to come out after 2 times through.
Ravens, Raiders tonight, Monday Night Football.
We both like the Raiders.
I had a little Raider money line, but I'm hating this Josh Jacobs news. Like I can't tell you how much I'm hating this Josh Jacobs news.
Yeah, but Jeremy, we talked about the lack of depth. Baltimore has no one on their roster that can run the football with experience, except for Lamar Jackson.
But that scheme is so good that I don't know if you couldn't run through it. You know what I mean? Like they have such a good scheme. The offensive line not bad.
Defensively,
you're
they
worried
lost
about
Peters.
Lamar. That's a hit.
Yep.
a hit.
and you know that Carr's going to throw it, especially if Jacobs is out. I like the Raiders at home.
You want Astro lineup?
Okay.
Altuve, Bregman, Yordan, Yuli, Tucker, Correa, Myers, Siri, Stubbs. Jose Siri gets the start and left. No Michael Brantley, still nursing that knee.
I thought Siri hurt his finger yesterday on the bases sliding head first.
I guess it was bad information. Brantley, though, out still with that knee discomfort day to day. Worth monitoring. The regular season rapidly ends. All right, fun show today. Thanks to everybody that listened. Thank you to Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Thanks so much, Tyler, doing all the hard work. Pinch hitting, doing all the hard work. He's Joel. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Stay safe. Wheelhouse next on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
With the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.